You're listening to Casual Talk Radio, where common sense is still the norm. Whether you're a new or longtime listener, we appreciate you joining us today. Visit us at casualtalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Trials. We all go through trials. Trials are a norm. Trials are to be accepted. Trials are to be embraced. We are strengthened by trials. Unfortunately, some people don't understand trials. And the reason they don't understand trials is that society has tried to hide the trial from you. Welcome or welcome back. Leister here, Casual Talk Radio, Gentleman's World, with a very compelling update. I was hesitant at first because it's not about qualification, really more something that is not my niche. It's not something I frequently speak about, but this one was perfect. Not only is it current, relevant, and in the now, but it's also appropriate to the current state of humanity that I perceive that bothers me so. And it'll allow me to put thoughts to audio, put it out there for the world to listen, for those that are listening, whether it's listening now or listening later, it gave me an opportunity to put it down there. Here's the background. When I say trials, you may or may not have heard of what went on with the fiasco that is Iran, President Donald Trump, his rant on Truth Social. I'm going to share all that. The response from Marjorie Taylor Greene, who at one point was an ally of Donald Trump and then turned on him for her own beliefs and reasons, good or bad. This was fascinating. I was encouraged and disheartened, look it up, at the same time when I observed what happened, because I was encouraged to see that finally the veil has been pulled back. We have exposed the truth. We have shown the fallacy, the failure, the shortcomings, the gaps, the deficiencies in faith. Faith is what we're going to talk about. Faith is what I want to explain. I want to put it in simple words because it occurred to me with this fiasco. People don't really know what faith is. They think they do. They say they do. They walk into a building claiming they do. They don't really. And some people who never walk in said building for their own reasons understand faith more than these so-called hypocrites. Let's break this down. So this happened 2 days ago as I record this. Early in the morning, crack of dawn, before people are having breakfast at this time. And just to put in perspective why, how bad this is, and this is a bit of a deviation, follow me, trust me. There was a time, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you would get up, you would go to the your little breakfast nook, right? Get the morning paper. It was dropped off by one of the boys on their bike that tossed it, and they took pride in hitting your porch. So you pull out the newspaper. Maybe the man of the house is smoking a pipe or something, reading the morning paper, getting his brain ready for the business day, right? The wife is preparing breakfast, preparing coffee, eggs, bacon, toast. Then you sit down and you enjoy breakfast together as a family. That used to be the morning. Now, because of the demise of quality newspapers, because remember, in those days, the newspapers went to such detail as to tell you about your neighbors and tell you about all the people in your neighborhood to where you cared about local events more than the world or the U.S. Now, all the newspapers are garbage because they've been bought out by the big players who don't really care to do anything other than trigger you, upset you, infuriate you. Social media comes along. And all social media did was take that to the next level. Everything, if you've not noticed, if you've not realized how plugged in you are, everything is focused on the now, feeding you information that is immediately relevant. This just happened. You have to read this now. All social media feeds you these, and it purposely feeds you content that does not allow you to properly process it and does not allow you to breathe and think it through calmly. Critically, I talked about the lack of critical thinking. That's what this is all about. So at 8 a.m., 2 days ago, 8 a.m., President Donald Trump on his Truth Social sent out a rant talking about the whole Hormuz, Strait of Hormuz and Iran and everything. And of course, he's getting pressure from Israel. And I'm not going to bore you with the background. But what got people really flustered is, mind you, this is Easter Sunday, right? On Easter Sunday, at the end of his message, he says, quote, "Praise be to Allah." On Easter Sunday, he closed his rant saying, "Praise be to Allah." So this, all that did was spark fury across social media. I didn't see it till a day later because I don't live on this garbage. I only happened to notice it because somebody else had done a video coverage where he was laughing. It was a Muslim and he was laughing about it saying, it's actually kind of cool that he said that. I don't think it's cool he said that, but I wasn't as bothered when I saw it. I know what he's doing. This is how Trump is. That's how he's always been. I know what he's doing. He's trying to piss them off, just like North Korean Rocket Man. That's what he does. He does these things because he's trying to put on a brave front. Now, there are people who are freaked out because, unfortunately, Chuck Schumer and some of the other side talked about how he's unhinged and all that. He might very well be unhinged, but they're not doing anything about it when they could. They have the power to do something about it. They're not doing anything about it. You don't see that they're actively trying. Mind you, though, when he went up on the stage peacefully saying, "We're going to go ahead and go to the Capitol and we're going to peacefully protest," all of a sudden there's impeachment proceedings. But here, when he says, "Praise be to Allah" on Easter Sunday in a rant at 8 a.m. threatening Iran, and then he did it again, Congress is silent. They're not doing anything. This is all theater. That's why I wasn't bothered by it. It's theater. He's putting on a show. That's what he has been. He has been a showman. He puts on a show, puts on a face because he's trying to be something. People who voted for him, they ignore it because they understand what he does. They understand how he is. That's partially why they voted for him. There are some people who say, "I regretted doing it," but the vast majority say, "You know what you're getting into." And the hypocrisy. When Joe Biden declared, quote, trans visibility day on Easter Sunday, and everybody celebrated that, including the one person who went up there and flashed breasts on the White House lawn near him, nobody had any sort of thing to say. People say, "Well, we need to be consistent here. What's going on? You were not outraged when Biden did that, but you're outraged when Trump does this over here against," and he's not talking about hitting civilians. He's talking about shutting down the regime. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you support it or not, he is a showman. That's what he does. People say we should just be consistent. If you're going to be outraged on one, you should be outraged on both, and you were not. In one, you didn't say anything. When this person over here did that, you did nothing. Then the counter was, "Well, that's a Chewbacca." No, it's not. But this, "Praise be to Allah," I've never seen such an outrage. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene essentially says, and I won't quote her because it's not worth it, but essentially says, since it's Easter Sunday, etc., "Look, if you're a Christian, you should get on your knees and pray," etc. Calling him insane, da da da. How come Israel can't defend themselves? Why do they need the U.S., etc.? Calling Trump evil, whether you say he is or not, whatever. But saying he's not a Christian. Donald Trump's not a Christian because of what he said. Okay? And that what he's saying is not supported by Christians. Now, what was interesting, this surprised me. There were people who came back and said, "No, we worship Jesus. Trump's doing his part that God chose him for." Here's the interesting thing, this dichotomy. Neither side is wrong. Somebody else came back and said, "Well, that God chose him. That's absurd." Because they don't agree with what he's doing. Now you got this Trinity. Anybody who's followed any sort of religion understands the Trinity, right? I was fascinated enough that I thought it was worth talking about it. Because this is called a trial of faith. Faith means that whatever it is that you believe, good, bad, or indifferent, is immutable, look it up, is unwavering. You defend it to the nth. You are solid in your faith. You will not let it break. You will not let it fail. That is true faith. People don't really have faith. People say they do. They don't. Why do I say what I just said? Let's take Marjorie Taylor Greene's statement. You should get on your knees and pray. If you support that, you should, any Christian, you should get on your knees and pray. He's not a Christian. Why? Because she disagrees with doing these actions, and she disagrees with the idea of doing it because of Israel. She disagrees with the actions. Nothing says she can't disagree with the actions. If you disagree with the actions, disagree with the actions. But the other people who are saying Trump's doing the part God chose him to do. Somebody else even said, somebody shot at him and missed. How? Had a perfect line of sight and missed. He moved his head at right the moment. And that person's like, how can that not have been? And this is where faith comes in. Who of them, of all of these, is telling the real story? Is it that God does not like what Trump is doing? Then why does God not intervene? Why does God not stop? I'll get to that in a second. If God was the one that kept him alive, which is kind of, that's what he said, that God's the one that kept him alive, then you would assume that God would have known that Trump would have done something that was not in alignment with Christianity and thus would have allowed that to happen. If we go off faith, mind you, people that say it's absurd that God chose that. Well, if we say that God guides your hand, okay, the things that we do, God guides your hand. You can't have it both ways. Either we are independent in our actions that are the way that we treat life. If we are living our lives and God is simply an observer, then we have to question, well, why would God stand by and observe something that was not within the boundaries of what he was supposed to do? Or is it more to what I think, irrespective of the deity in question, what I think is that we are subject to observation. And post-observation, meaning after the dust has settled, when we are judged, the judgment takes shape in terms of how long we are allowed to continue doing what it is that we're doing. And if there's something that cuts that short, for whatever it is, it might very well be an action that we took, an action we didn't take, or a judgment that was passed. That it could be all of the above, that whatever deity is not going to get involved to prevent a death, whatever deity is not going to get involved to cause a death, let's think it that way. If we accept that whatever deity is not going to get involved to prevent a death, then that means that Trump just got lucky. If that's what you believe, there are those who will adamantly say, no, he was protected by God. If that's true, if God stayed the shooter's hand, if God moved Trump's head, however you phrase it, if that's true, that means that God must therefore be okay with Trump's actions because we expect that God would have known what Trump would do as a result of that life. That we must accept that if that's true. It can't be both. Either God was okay with it or God's not okay with it. If God's not okay with it, why would you let him live when you could not let him live and stop him from what you knew would happen? So then, is it a long game situation? And it's possible that social media is simply triggering people and Trump knows that game. And that's being ignored because it's not part of the big picture of something. Let me give you a great example. Let's take abortion. There are reasons that women get abortions. One of those might be that they were raped. One of those might be that they don't feel they can afford the child. One of those might be their health, that they could die if they have the kids. There's reasons for an abortion. There are those that would swear they're completely against abortion and those that swear they are pro-life and abortion's absolutely wrong. They're absolutes. They're on both sides standing, staring at each other, and they're speaking to absolutes. Nobody leaves room, other than myself, leaves room for the consideration and conditions behind the abortion. Is it possible, and this is a theoretical question only, is it possible this is something similar where he may have the best of intentions? Obviously, the impact on oil the impact on the economy, the impact on trade. There's significant impacts to it. And historically, there has been a desire to kind of tiptoe into that and go peacefully and bow down and do these things. We knew he wasn't that. We knew he wasn't going to be that. Despite what he said, we knew he wasn't going to be the kind of person to go peacefully like that. And when he did the things he did to North Korea, what did North Korea do? They invited him out there. To this day, he is the only president to go there and walk across the DMZ. So how can it be that what he's doing is wrong? It's only based on the reaction. This then got people, and I'll get back to my other topic, but this goes to recollections of Pearl Harbor. The narrative behind Pearl Harbor was very similar. It had to do with oil at the end of the day. People don't know this, but it had to do with oil and a position that Japan wanted comparable to the other major powers. And they made a judgment call, and they happened to have enough to make somewhat of that impact to their detriment, because then the United States retaliated. And in their retaliation, Japan had no way out. There was no way they were going to surpass the United States for that same reason. Is it possible? Trump thinks the same thing, and he understands. Look, we can do that if you want to do this, and it's going to end badly for you. And in the past, for those that didn't know, after what happened with Pearl Harbor, and after what happened with World War II, patriots, they lined up to go. They were proud to go and fight for what they believed was correct. It didn't have anything to do with being here. It was, we believe this is right, and I firmly believe that this is acceptable, and I'm going to follow it all the way through to its end. There are people to this day that would say certain of the wars, they were necessary in order to ensure that we maintain the strong position that we've always had historically, that we've lost in recent years. Is it possible that that's what Trump's doing? So when he comes out and he does these things and he says these things and people get set off, are they getting set off for any reason other than social media is pushing it in your face? Now let's get back to the Trinity. We talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene and the fact that if you're a Christian, you should get on your knees, you should pray, etc., simply because of what he said. She has the right to disagree, but I don't think that has anything to do with Christianity specifically. I think it has everything to do with him doing what he feels is right, which is the way we used to do it in America. Go and study your history. Don't listen to influencers online. Study your history again. Study the Vietnam War. Study World War II. Study Pearl Harbor. Study these events, and it will tell you the patriotic nature that we once had, that we've lost, that he is a hallmark back to that era because he lived through those. He lived through that. He came out of some of that stuff. So he understands a lot of some of that stuff. So I'm simply telling you the way he thinks. I'm not telling you it's good, bad, right, or wrong. I'm telling you he was on the tail end of that stuff. So he would have been inspired by a lot of that stuff because he is a hallmark back to that. Whether you agree or not, it's not the point. You have to understand it. Once you understand it, now we get back into the trial of faith. I'll give you an analogy. Did you know, and some I'm pretty sure you did, and you just kind of out of sight, out of mind it, but did you know that there are parts in the Bible that make the statement that causes people to think that women must simply be subservient to men? Did you know that? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Read through it. I'll even give you the one that stands out, that one that everybody always quotes, right? Quote, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Too many people in the modern era think too hard. They reference something that is decades or centuries old, and then all of a sudden, because in the modern, they have this revelation, no pun intended, and they want to treat that as wrong instead of understanding the context and understanding the time and understanding the source. They're disregarding history. They're not understanding what history is. When we say that people were saying the word nigger like it was not going out of style, that was real. It happened. When we were saying that the word Negro was referenced on birth certificates to refer to Black Americans. That was real. When we go to Juneteenth rallies and whatnot and don't understand what was really happening that caused that to be a thing, this is a failure of understanding history. You don't erase history. You don't rewrite history. You don't ignore history, because if you do so, you are doomed to repeat the mistakes of history. We have to understand what happened. We have to recognize what happened with the Trail of Tears. We have to understand what happened in the civil wars and others domestically. We have to understand the real roots of immigration. We have to understand the Tea Party and why it mattered. We have to understand what created us as a nation, good, bad, or indifferent. You cannot cherry pick lines that you don't understand. Instead of taking the time, there was one person who was, I just can't get it. People try to explain to her the context of this Greco-Roman and the era that it was in, and Adam and Eve, they were doing everything they could to explain to this woman, you're overthinking this. You're truly overthinking, because her whole fixation is, so you say I got to serve a man? You're just overthinking it. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. This is the trial of faith. Your faith has nothing to do with what you read. Your faith has everything to do with your faith. In other segments of the Bible, it refers to how women dress. It refers to their hair. It refers to how they carry themselves, how they speak to men. What is that referring to? It's referring to the traditional belief that a woman should carry herself like a woman and not try to be a man. That's what it refers to. The modern influencer era told women that they should try to be equal to men. Equality was never about being equal to man. Equality was already granted if you have the right faith under God, indivisible, because man and woman were both from God, all the way back to Adam and Eve. It didn't matter that one came after the other. It didn't matter that one came from the rib of the other. None of that mattered. There's another line that says, essentially, I'll paraphrase this, but it essentially says, you will be saved by way of child rearing. And this just offended some other women who said, so all we're there is to have kids, because they don't think it through. All of us have a purpose. Some of that purpose is born from our gender. Some of that purpose is born from our race. Some of that purpose is born from our education. Some of that purpose is born from the contributions we choose to do. But we cannot ignore the contributions that are born from our gender. Childbearing is the greatest gift a woman can have for themselves, for others, for the children that they bear. It is the greatest because it's something only a woman can do. And instead of focusing on that gift, something only you can do, something nobody else can touch, only you can rear children as a woman. Think of the women who cannot, due to some sort of physical illness, some sort of injury, something else where they cannot bear children. And you can still bear children, and all you can think about is worrying about some line in the Bible that offends you, instead of appreciating the fact that you can bear children and realizing this is a gift that not everybody else has. And you're worried about that. That's what these people are trying to say. You're worried about that. This is a lack of faith. You cannot have faith. It's not possible because you're not thinking about the real gift. From the statements, if you are a woman and you act like a woman, irrespective of a man, that's something only a woman can do. Only a woman can act like a woman. Only a woman can be feminine. I'm sorry, that's the truth. If we're honest, only a woman can be a woman, period. Only a woman can bear children. A woman, when paired with a man, supports the man. Why do you not want to support a man? Why does that offend you? Why does it bother you? What makes you feel that that lessens you as a person? Because consider, if you're not there for the man to support that man when they're about to go to war, They have nothing to look forward to coming back from that war. Why are you not thinking that through? I am the support. I am the one making sure the household stays clean, safe, happy, fed. Why is that not enough? You get to this world where you're not satisfied with your role. The role offends you. Why? Why does it offend you? Because somebody told you to be offended by it instead of embracing the gift that it must be. Because it's not everybody can have that gift. The sight has been lost. The sight has been lost. People are blind. You're blind to what's happening to you. Social media is part to blame. The loss of local newspapers is part to blame. Television is part to blame. Radio is part to blame. These voices have changed and they have influenced you. And people that were not brought up to be strong enough to hold to their own convictions, irrespective of those voices, and not overthink what you read, and instead interpret them as gifts. Interpret you as a gift to somebody else. You should consider yourself as a woman a gift to your child, if you have one or many. You should consider yourself a gift to your spouse, if you have one or many. You should consider yourself a gift to your workplace. You should consider yourself a gift to your friends. You should have loyalty to your spouse. However, you should have more loyalty to your children. This is what the Bible is trying to emphasize, and why it says the greatest thing you can do is bear children. Your greatest loyalty is to those children. Why is that the case? It's the case because those children, they are an extension of you. Not to duplicate you. They are your legacy. They are how the world remembers you. They are how the world truly cares about what happens to you. If you're by yourself, who cares about you when you're gone? If you have children, at least one person has to. And it may not be that child, but somebody else must, because that child was born of someone. Someone will ask the question who that was, and the child should know who it was that helped bring them into this world. The child should understand who brought them into that world. They should be able to explain it to somebody else. They should be able to tell the story about their journey growing up. Consider the gift. I keep using the word gift, right? There are kids who cannot tell the story. There are kids who cannot say who their mother is. There are kids who cannot say who their father is. There's kids who have no idea what their true upbringing was. You being there, being just existing, is a gift. You've been fooled to ignore the gift that is and instead be worried about words misinterpreted instead of your own faith. Your own faith in the reality that you were intended to be a gift. That's the message of all of it. So be a gift. Be okay being a gift. Be satisfied with being just a gift. Because there are people out there that can't be a gift. They cannot be a gift to anybody. That's wealth. It's wealth you don't appreciate because you're too busy worrying about this other. How does that tie to what Trump said? What does Trump saying, praise be to Allah, have anything to do with getting on your knees as a Christian? Your Christian faith has nothing to do with what Trump says. Your Christian faith is your Christian faith. If you believe that God intervened to keep that man alive, hold to your faith. If you believe that God is guiding his hand in the actions he's taking, hold your faith. If you believe that God does not agree with what he's doing, question why God would not intervene. And if you understand that maybe God just does not intervene like that, that's your faith. Adjust your faith. Instead of God intervenes, perhaps it's God observes. And then God judges after it's all said and done. Your life then, it becomes a slate. It becomes the story. It becomes music notes that are played, and they take however long they do. And at the end of it, you're telling the right story, or you're not telling the right story, or the song resonates or it doesn't. Along that path, you want these key moments where you made a difference. Making a difference has nothing to do with working a job. It has nothing to do with how much money you make. It has everything to do with the change that you instill in others around you. It has everything to do with inspiring. It has everything to do with teaching. So when you see a line that says, "Woman shouldn't teach man," don't take it literally. Simply say, if the man is an expert in his craft, you probably shouldn't try to question him about it, because that's essentially what it's trying to say. If the man is a carpenter by trade and you are not, no, you should not tell him what tools to use. If a man works accounting, no, you probably shouldn't tell him how to work the books. If a man works computers, you probably shouldn't tell him how to power one on. You understand your place in the world, at his side or otherwise. You understand how you have your place, they have their place. The two should not intersect when they shouldn't. But the priority, just be a woman. Be happy being a woman, because it's a gift that you can be. You should love that you are. And you should appreciate those things that only you as a woman can do, that contribute to the world. And by doing so, you are then contributing to your story and the judgment that will happen later. When you think of it that way, your focus changes. You're not so fixated on the social media pushing garbage to you simply because it's in the now. You're thinking more about what's going on around you locally. You're thinking more about the safety of your neighborhood. You're thinking more about your tax situation and how it benefits your schools. Not the money aspect, but whether your schools are actually making your kids better, because you understand your kids deserve that. And your focus now is within the family, not the garbage that's going on outside of it because somebody tells you it should be your focus.